All right, we are going to look at, I got it pulled up right here. So we're still on Under His Feet. We're going to be here just a few more Sundays. We've made it through several of them. We're on today. This is the sacrificial part that God has called us into. And we know that... We know we've talked about being a separate people. We've talked about being united. And today we're going to talk about being a sacrifice, what it means to sacrifice, to live a life of denial. Luke 9:23, you all heard it, you know it. You may not know that you know it, but you know what it says. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's pretty self-explanatory. If we're going to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. And so what does that mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus and deny ourselves? Romans 12:1. We've read this a few times, but it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. As I've said 1,000 times, it bugs me to see a church sign that says worship starts at such and such time. Because worship doesn't start at 10 o'clock. Worship doesn't have a time. It starts when you wake up in the morning. And I guess it takes a nap when you go to sleep at night. Other than that, worship never stops. Because worship is you. This, your true and proper worship is offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. So in two different versions, we see denying ourselves, which is the denial, and to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So we have sacrifice slash denial or denial slash sacrifice. And this is what this boils down to. Jesus says, look, you can't follow me if you don't deny yourself. You can't do it. And Paul in Romans 12:1 is saying, look, you have to present your, if you want a true and proper worship, you've got to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's just that simple. And so I wrote down just a few things that, I think we have a big disconnect. And keep in mind, when I say that and I say, you know, we don't do this, and I just happen to pan my eyes and pin on you or you, or I'm not talking to you. I'm not saying that to you, but I think as a church body, and especially in the West, we have a big disconnect. And what I mean by that is we have no idea, really, as a whole body, we have no idea what it means to follow Jesus. We have no idea. We're following a guy as a whole that we don't even know. We know a few things he said and a few things that he did, but we just think he's this guy that came to do this or came to do that. Yeah, died on the cross and did all this. And that's just a part of who Jesus was, and that was just a part of what he came to do. But if you... And we've all been there. Let's don't kid ourselves. We've all been there. But and some of you may be there now. I don't know. I mean, I still struggle with it all the time. It's not like I've got it figured out, and I don't struggle anymore. It's kind of like saying, well, I start taking vitamins, I don't get sick no more. Okay. We'll see. You know what I mean? Like, I wish it was that way. If it was, I'd be taking a vitamin every day. If following Jesus meant that there wasn't no more problems, sign me up. I follow him anywhere. You know what I mean? If there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, let's go. I mean, that's easy. But trouble is coming. Jesus said it's coming. The persecution, the ridicule, the heartaches, you just can't not go through something because you're following Jesus. And so it's like we don't really get what it means to follow Jesus, but we're good at calling ourselves Christians. And that's, to me, that's a disconnect. Because as Jesus said, look, you can't follow me. In other words, you can't be a Christian unless you deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. Then how are you a Christian, which means follower of Christ? So that's what I mean by that. We think that being a Christian is I go to church on Sundays. I believe in Jesus. I said a prayer one time. I read my Bible every day. Well, good for you. Like I said, that's good. But let me ask you this question. Let's say that you're going to base, and when I say you, remember, we're talking about the whole church throughout North America, okay? I mean, have you seen some of the rules coming down in Canada against the church and against Christians? I mean, they're trying to stomp them out up there. They don't mind them preaching, but they are not going to be preaching hate and sin and repentance. That's hate speech. To tell somebody they need to repent from their sins is hateful. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. So they don't mind you going to church. They don't mind you reading your Bible. They don't mind you doing good deeds. And so, but they're kicking out Jesus, kind of like we kick God out of school. We can't really kick him out, but we want to say we did. Like, we're not going to pray anymore. And that's okay. Hey, but we're no different here in the United States either. We're, you know, I was telling y'all about laws and different things, and there's, you know, people that want to burn down churches and shut down churches, and you know, we can leave nightclubs, gambling, casinos, and strip clubs open. We need to shut down the churches on Sunday because they might spread COVID. And so we kind of know where all that's going and everything, but I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what it looks like in America's eyes. I want you to think about what it looks like to be a Christian. Not in God's eyes, but in America's eyes. And it would be, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray. I mean, would y'all agree with that? It's not a trick question. I mean, would you kind of agree with that? That's kind of like, if you were to go out here on the street and say, what do you think it means to be a Christian? You would probably get, read your Bible, pray, go to church. Probably top three answers. Would y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
All right. Do you think a disciple, an apostle, ever read the Bible?
Except for the Old Testament. They read the Old Testament.
Right.
So, yeah.
It wasn't the Bible, though. It was scrolls. It wasn't put together. It wasn't in biblical form. It was just individual scrolls.
They had to get some kind of knowledge that they had.
So, if you open up your Bible app or you pick up a Bible, they didn't read it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mark wasn't reading Matthew. And Matthew wasn't reading Romans. Do you think that they ever gathered in a church and had church? Like we have church. Doubtful. We know they gathered. That's our next thing is gathering. But they didn't gather like this, and they didn't have probably the same, you know, like come in, like Tara always says, three songs, message, let's go get something to eat. But my point is, if two of the three things that we just talked about, reading the Bible, going to church, and praying, if the disciples didn't do two of the three things that we would say would be the three top things that people would say, then how in the world were they following Jesus? Do you get what I'm saying here? You get where I'm going with this? We would say, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But yet the disciples didn't do two of those three. And I'm thinking, well, why are we saying that's what it looks like? Like I said, not us. It's the world. They didn't have a New Testament Bible, okay? You're not, I get it, and I've been saying it, you know, for a couple months now. Jesus was in Genesis 1. I get that. But you're learning about Jesus in the New Testament. And that's what I'm saying. They didn't have it. They didn't have it back then. They didn't have worship leaders. They didn't have pastors. They didn't have Sunday school teachers. They just had people that come together and shared what they saw or what they had heard or how they had been taught. And that's how Jesus grew. He grew in them and then he grew outward. I made a note here. I said they didn't have the internet. They didn't have the purpose-driven life. They didn't have the movie God's Not Dead. They didn't have Gold City Quartet or the Newsboys. I mean, like, they managed to accomplish all this stuff without stuff that we were dependent upon. And none of that has anything to do with following Jesus. That's just things that we enjoy. We enjoy the movies. We enjoy the music. We enjoy the liberty of being able to go. I mean, how many times during Sunday school did I say, hang on, and pull up Google and type it in and go, oh, here's the answer? Because, I mean, like, when we were talking about the mark of the beast, I was like, I don't know. Let me say mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13. Okay, here we go. I mean, I don't know all that stuff. I rely on it too. But all that stuff is good and it adds to it, but it ain't about. You can go to the Newsboys concert that's coming up this month, I think, and that has nothing to do with following Jesus. Nothing. It's just something you enjoy, just like going to Zaxby's. You know what I mean? You pick Zaxby's over Jack's. It don't mean anything. So what does it mean to follow? You know what it means to follow? Definition. Make it up. That's funny, ain't it?
Go with someone else's lead.
That's good. Here's the actual definitions. It means to come after, to engage in as a calling, and or to accept as authority. So to come after, to engage in as a calling, or to accept as authority. So this was interesting, and I thought, I'm going to make this part of this message. Here's what the thesaurus.com, it calls synonyms for the word follow. This is interesting. Adhere to. Now, remember, we're talking about following Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about the word follow. We're talking about following Jesus. Thesaurus.com says that the word follow is very similar to the words adhere to, adopt, attend, keep, imitate, mimic, mirror, and obey. And those are in alphabetical order, by the way. So obey probably wouldn't be the last one. It would probably be the first one. But that's just kind of some different words. Mimic, mirror, obey. That's what it means to follow. Now here's what thesaurus.com calls antonyms for follow. This is where it gets interesting. Disregard. Ignore. These are not in order, by the way. Neglect. Disobey. Lead. Or proceed. And I thought, now that's very interesting. Because it's easy for us to say, yes, I follow Jesus. It's easy for us to say that because that's good Christian church terminology. You know what I mean? Like that's simple. We can say that. But you know as well as I do that actually following Jesus is nowhere near as easy as saying it. And so I began to think, do I ever disregard what Jesus says? We kind of talked about it in Sunday school, didn't we? Do I ever ignore what Jesus says? Do I ever neglect what Jesus says? Now it begins to start to paint a little bit of a different picture, don't it? Because the answer is, and I don't have to ask you to answer it for me. The answer is yes, we neglect things Jesus says sometimes. We do. We neglect it. Jesus is all about the poor. He's all about the brokenhearted. He's all about, you know, he's all about those people. And a lot of times we're about ourselves. Do we ever ignore what Jesus says sometimes? Yes, absolutely we do. Do we throw some disregard to what Jesus says? Yes. Do we disobey some of the things that Jesus says? Yeah. Now that sounds like the exact opposite of follow, according to thesaurus.com and Webster's Dictionary. But the worst is that sometimes we probably lead or proceed. In other words, follow means behind in our minds. You know what I'm saying? Like we follow, we get behind traffic and we're following. We follow somebody to the restaurant. We follow somebody to the beach. We follow, you know, we're multiple cars. Or we don't know where we're going and say, hey, follow me, I'll take you and I'll show you. And so we lead them there. But imagine if somebody said, hey, like at the high school, if somebody said, hey, where is so-and-so's class? And you're like, well, it's all the way over down here. And they're like, well, and I have no idea, I've never been here. Well, follow me. And all of a sudden, they just start out in front of it. And they turn and go down the wrong hall and you're like, you know, in your mind. I mean, but that's the reality of probably what Jesus is thinking when he says, come on and follow me, and yet we get out in front of him. And that's so we just got to be careful not to turn out to be the leader of this relationship. We're the followers. That's the order. Jesus said, look, you're going to do greater things than I ever did. And that's a powerful statement. And we've talked about that here before. But it doesn't mean you'll ever come to a point where you're the leader. It's kind of like what James and John wanted. James and John wanted to sit at the right hand of the Father. Or the mom asked. Yeah, the mom asked if they could sit at the right hand. And it's like, look, this is you don't even understand what you're asking. You know, there is no right hand and left hand at the Son, only at the Father. And that's a bold question, our you know, ask and statement, you know, to think that we're going to ascend to the point that we're going to get a throne too. Mm-mm. We're gonna ascend to bow down at the throne, at the one that sits on the throne. That's our position. And you're never, Satan is the one who wanted a throne. And look at where it got him. So we need to be careful not to try to ascend to get a throne. We're not meant to be the leader when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. We're the followers. It will always be that order. And so that's what I wanted us to understand. 100%, that's what I got. 100%, we need to understand our role. And that is follower. Compliance. We're to adhere to, adopt, attend, keep, imitate, mimic, mirror, obey. We're never to disregard, ignore, neglect, disobey, and definitely not try to lead Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. So, one final note, and it's just something I want us to be a little aware of, and this could get deep, but I'm not going to take it deep, is that we're going to struggle and we're going to fall. But God is faithful when we repent. Nikki, there's going to be times you're going to get out ahead of Jesus. Ty, there's going to be times you're going to get out ahead of Jesus. Okay? Sarah, probably going to be times, you're going to get out ahead of him. You got to understand and you got to recognize that. There's going to be times I'm going to get out ahead of him. And what do? We realize it. We repent. And by repent, we just say, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, it's not like, beating myself and all stuff. We go, Lord, I'm sorry. I try to take lead on this. And that's your job, not mine. And that's going to happen. And that's growth. That's when you recognize it, when you see it, and you say, I'm sorry, Lord. I tried to take over and be in charge when this is yours, or I didn't let you lead me. And so you simply just say, I'm sorry, which is repentance, and you step back and you let him back in the lead. And we're going to have those moments, okay? We're going to have them. There's going to be times when we're going to think, well, I know better. I know best. I know how to handle this. And we're going to know deep in the back of our mind, this ain't right, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to do that anyway because it's what we want to do. Because it's vengeance is mine, saith Chris. It's what I know better. Or if I do it the way that I feel like I probably should do, it's going to cost me. And I ain't in the mood to pay today. You know, and so we're going to have those moments. And what we have to do is that we just have to understand and realize that in those moments, okay, that we grow through that. So I'm not going to sit up here and paint this picture that you can't do this because I know we're going to. I know we're going to. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to stumble and we're going to struggle and we're going to fall. But just don't stay there. Don't stay in that leadership position because you wasn't built nor designed to be the head in this relationship. You just wasn't. And so if you ever catch yourself trying to be the boss of Jesus and be the head, take a step back and just say, I'm sorry. And that's what we do. And that's all we can do. We can't go back and fix it. We can't erase it. It's there. It's over. It's done. Just don't stay there. Don't let the devil convince you that you got this. That's a lie. Because you don't. The reality is that we, you, I, us, we would be terrible gods. Terrible. Terrible. Life would get boring if we were God. Very boring. There wouldn't be a lot of people on the face of this earth either. I can already tell you that. Y'all know that.
Fire every day.
Well,
there's been many a people I'd like to rain down.
Yeah, you gonna cut me off and then flip me off? You gone.
Gone.
Look, and we knew that. I don't even really, like, y'all didn't argue with me when I said we would be terrible gods. We would. We don't have it within us to be what Jesus was and is. He was the only one who could come down and do what he did and do it without sin. Amen. Yeah. All we would have would be a bunch of people following us because they were scared. That if they didn't, we'd wipe them off the face of the earth. Hey, I like them shoes, Nick. Can I have them shoes? Yes, sir, buddy. Here you go. I don't want to get smite. You know what I mean? No, but Jesus, look, we're following Jesus because we love him. Because we respect him. And we have a fear of the Lord, but that's not what drives us. It's what guides us. It's what helps keep us in check. But our love for the Son and our love for the Son's Father, man, that's what drives us. And so that's what I think is awesome about Jesus is he has people that's willing to die for him. And they love him. And he's not forcing them to. You know what I mean? Like he's not forcing them to. They're just doing it. People in other countries are laying, as we were talking about Sunday school, people in other countries are laying their head on a chopping block and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I'll see you in a minute." That's insane. They're not fighting it. They're just doing it. And that's crazy. That's crazy. So here's that final little thought is that check yourself every now and then. Because you're either doing one or two things. You're either following Jesus or you're not following Jesus. That's kind of like, you know, right now every one of you are sitting. Guess what you're not doing? You're not standing. You're not walking. You're not running. You're sitting. Now you're doing a lot of other things at the same time, but you're not walking. And you're not running. You know, and so there are things in your life that you can look at and go, I either am or I am not. You can't say it, but I can say it to you this way. You can't say I either are or are not, but I can say it to you. You either are or you are not. I either am or I am not. And we need to keep a check on this, especially in situations where big decisions are being made, and understand, am I leading this or is Jesus leading this? And just, you know, occasionally check into that. It wouldn't hurt to do that every day. Add that to our daily routine. Put that in your morning prayer. Lord, help me follow you and not lead you. Put that in our morning prayers. And that's kind of the sacrifice and denial. It's exactly what Jesus called us into. That's the life. It's the life. And, you know, it would be like if think about like this, sacrifice and denial, and I'll close this part. But sacrifice and denial would be like this. If I brought that flag in here and I said, Nikki, if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to carry this flag everywhere you go. And you're like, I'm doing it. And it's probably good for a week or two, maybe a few months. But there's going to come a point in time in your life when you're going to go, man, this flag ain't too convenient. You saw how long it was. You imagine, you know, trying to get in a car with it every day. It's a little frustrating. You know, carrying it around work. Doing all these things. But if that's what Jesus said, had Jesus said, look, you want to follow me, you got to carry this flag. And that's what he literally meant that. There's going to come times that flag is not going to be convenient. There's going to become times that that flag is a hindrance. And I promise you, if that was the case, you would see the majority of people walk in a church with no flag. Simply because that flag ain't convenient. But you wasn't called into a life of convenience. That's the difference. And so we keep that in check, and we remember that every day you were called into a life of sacrifice, into a life of denial. And Jesus said, look, you can't follow me without denial. It can't be done. You got to do it.